Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Anybody going through it? Well, thank God you went through it. Don't complain. How many know God doesn't hear a complainer? Or one that goes, but. Oh, but, Lord, oh, but. He don't hear them. That's the but ministry, where the head and not the tail. Amen. Matthew 12, verse 43. We all know the world's being shaken right now. Amen. Shaken and a-quaking. The body of Christ is being shaken and a-quaking and tested. God is testing our genuineness. There's a lot of wannabes, but not willing to be. He searches those who worship him in truth and in spirit. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, or in other words, a person, what's an unclean spirit? It's a demon. It's a demon. Everyone say demon. What's a demon? It's a disembodied spirit. Amen. What, it used to have a body and it doesn't have one anymore. It's from the offsprings of the fallen ones, the Nephilim. Okay, so when an unclean spirit goes out of a person, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return from the body which I came from. Does everybody get it? I'll return. Woo-hoo. Then he says, I will return to my house or the body I came from, which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, sweat, and put in order. Oh, it's nice. Praise God, it's been redecorated. Smells clean now. It's no longer doing the same things it used to do. You know, of course, if that spirit left that place, you know it's got to be clean because it's an unclean spirit. Amen. So it got cleaned up. That body got cleaned up. Got healed, delivered. One time was filled with the Word and the Spirit. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. What's he trying to do? Access that house. That body. And they enter and dwell there. Oh, so they took it over. And the last state of that man is worse than the first, so it shall be also with the wicked generation. In other words, demons return. Does everybody get it? Oh, I've been delivered and I've been healed. Well, that's wonderful. Where are you at now? They will return. Today's teaching is called Return of Demons. How do they come? Listen, people draw them out of the pit. Because of the things that they've done. So wickedness is constantly producing wickedness, unrighteousness on the earth, and it's drawing more and more spirits. Music and things that have to agree, videos and accursed items that are there in. Demons will return. Their main focus is to return back to you. That's their main focus. Those that have left you will return back to you. And they will attempt, and it's not going to be a one-time attempt. Hello? They'll return to the body of its life. Does everybody get it? It's called, why? Because we fed them. They were living in us. They lived off of us. And they live by what? Emotion. What feeds a demon? Lust. Lust is an overwhelming desire. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. They feed them. Your flesh is nothing but lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Amen? These are what feed demons. They are returning big time because their body is raising up and removing many, so they got to go somewhere. So they're trying to return right now back to where they came from. Does everybody get it? That's why you might know people that have been clean for a long time, and all of a sudden, boom! Or they might be doing things for a long time that was righteous, and then boom! Because that demon came back. Now, who allowed them access? The individual. Amen? The individual. Don't tell me the devil made you do it. You did it. Amen?
First Peter chapter 5,
verse 8. It says, be sober, which means what? Alert. Be sensitive. Be discerning. Amen? Be awake. Be vigilant, which means consistent. In other words, if you ain't consistent, you ain't going to stay awake. And if you're not awake, you ain't going to stay consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, demons, walk about like roaring lions, seeking whom they may what? Devour. Oh, how are they going to devour? They must what? Re-enter. Amen? They must what? Re-enter. Whew. It says, resist him steadfast in the what? In the faith. In what? Faith. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Amen? But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have been tempted, suffered a while, hopefully will perfect and establish and strengthen and settle you so you don't do the same stupid thing again. It makes it that simple. Amen? So you see here that they want, these demons want to return. Amen? And these demons seek where they can re-enter. And again, their first choice is you, where they first originated, where they first were fed for you years. Why? Because they know your weaknesses and they know your strengths. Amen? They know your weaknesses and they know your strengths. They've been with you your whole life. And when you outgrew them and outpowered them, another one came. Or a more deceptive one came. But they were still connected. Because there's a group, a family of demons that are fed off of you. Return of demons. It's like the old movie, Return of the Body Snatchers. For those of us that were young and watched those horror flicks, yeah, they affected us later, didn't they? It's amazing how many Christians are still letting their kids watch these horror flicks. Anyways, Luke 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, he was led by the Spirit into a wilderness. Amen? That means he was going to have victory. But he had to cooperate with the Spirit. Being tempted 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when he had ended, he was hungry. So he's been tempted 40 days. He didn't eat for nothing. And so after the 40 days was up, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, this is when the devil attacks us, when you're at your weakness. Amen? And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now, I want you to grab something here. What he was doing was challenging Jesus and who he is. Now, that's how the devil challenges me and you, too. He's going to challenge you in the area where you don't realize he's challenging you. But thoughts will come, man, I've been clean. I've been saved. No, I'm good. That's the challenge of the enemy. Well, I've been serving the Lord for 10 years. I know this. I know that. I know how to do this. Oh, you just been challenged. Somebody get it? When that begins, why? Because his first focus is to bring you on you and promote pride. Does everybody get it? He brings the focus on us to promote what? Pride. See, now you don't even realize that he's trying to access your weakness. Why? Because you're focusing on you, not your weaknesses anymore. Man, they know exactly how to do this. Let's go a little further. But Jesus answered, saying, now was Jesus the Son of God? Yes. Could he turn the bread into, whatever, into food? Yeah, he was hungry. He could have gone, he could have created a Burger King right there. But he didn't. He could have had something Ubered, but he didn't need to. An angel would have brought it. Then Jesus answered, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word out of what? God. Hallelujah. But he never shared with them. He said, if you are the Son of God, turn this into this. Jesus, why? Because the enemy was trying to bring him to him and his identity and what who he was. Jesus didn't need that. He already knew who he was. They didn't prove it to nobody. See, the devil wants you to prove it. Well, this is my position. This is what I do. See, I mean, the enemy will attack you in every, well, I'm a good husband. I'm a good father. I'm a good pastor. I'm a good this. I'm a good, does everybody get it? He'll bring you to you with pride. That's how they come. This is how it starts. And it just didn't, look it. It starts with a little bit. Boom. It's called a fiery dart. You don't even know it's penetrating. Well, I'm good right now. I can do that. The first thing I want to do is compromise you. Amen? And they compromise you by bringing you to you and promoting pride. Now look at this. Let's go a little further. Then the devil, verse 5, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdom of the world in its moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, I will be yours. Look at how many people have fallen into this situation. Oh, they own their own jets. They own their own buildings. They own their own recording companies. They're billionaires. But they're worshipers of Satan. They've sold their soul, though, for the goods of the world. Therefore, if you worship before me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. Hello? For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, he's still trying to bring him to himself, isn't he? He's still trying to get him to prove who he is. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. See, he knows the word, you know. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So he told him right then, I am God. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until what? Another opportunity. An opportune time. In other words, he was going to return. Somebody get it? They are going to return at any moment, at all the time. Man, you give them a second, an open door, a blink, a compromise. They're there. They're waiting to re-enter. Hello? Jesus was tempted by the devil with lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And then Jesus already knew he's going to return at an opportune time. And for me and you, he's going to return at our opportune time when we least expect it. When we don't even know it. Remember, he's going to bring you to you. Anybody ever been offended? Don't raise your hands. Everybody's been offended. It's what you do with it. Anybody been disappointed, discouraged, whatever. It's what you do with it. It doesn't mean things aren't going to happen, but what you do with it is vital. You got to walk away from it. You got to settle it, send it. No, I'm not accepting that. See, you have the choice to accept something or reject it. That is the power that's within you already. And if you're not willing to reject it, most of the time you grieve the Spirit. And if you grieve the Spirit, he steps back. Then a familiar spirit comes and pretends to be the Holy Spirit. Then you're feeling good because you're emotionally feeling good. And what demons get fed by? Emotion. But then the end of that is always destruction, despair, shame, discouragement. And it starts all over again until you get rid of this stuff and these demons and get refreshed, refilled. But it starts with repentance. So when you allow a spirit to come and grab hold of you and you agree, which brings a stronghold, you better repent quickly. The longer you repent, the longer you will reap. Amen? The longer it takes you to repent, the more you're going to reap. Hallelujah. Don't wait to get caught. Repent immediately. And look what the media is doing right now. Aren't they promoting a lot of fear and a lot of all kind lust and it's all over the world. There's disasters, there's all kinds. And you know what? I'm so tired of hearing doomsday stuff. I mean, some of these people that are prophesying doomsday, shut them off. That's not my Father's prophetic release. Not now. Are we in the last days? Yes, but it ain't over. The body of Christ has got victory. And we haven't seen the fullness of the victory of the body of Christ yet. How can we say doomsday when we haven't gotten where we're supposed to be yet? No way. It's doomsday for the devil. Amen? Hallelujah. We still got much more to go. We got another 3.5 years of prosperity, of favor, of triumph, of victory. It ain't over yet. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2, please, and verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, who is the ruler of the world, is Satan, right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, because it's controlled by and ruled by Satan. Now, you got to remember something. These demons, what's a demon's weapon? Deception. Does everybody get it? That's his weapon, deception. The power is fear. He brings presence of fear. Now, fear is also an overwhelming desire. Does everybody get it? Which now falls into the category of lust. So he's going to try to promote lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. But he's going to start off with what? Deception. To bring you to you, to deceive you. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 17, and the world is passing away in the lust of it. That's why they're trying to grab hold and go home, take back the bodies that they used to have. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Wow. What happens is, when these spirits come, and they have access again, amen, they cannot handle the exposure. They don't want to be found out, do they? Amen. So they begin to do what? They run. Because the demons in that person don't want to be found out. Then there's the spirit of fear, shame, anxiousness, anxiety, all of the spirit of oppression. All of these spirits come to move an individual out from away from the flock so they can get fed more. I've seen so many people run before they completed. You know, when you don't complete the assignment from God, God brings, the Bible tells us that he releases his promise after every assignment. Amen? So when God gives you an assignment, you fulfill it, he releases a promise. Now, it can be a simple thing, it can be whatever. It can be a long-term thing, a short-term thing. Then he releases a promise. I've seen so many people come into the discipleship program and not complete. And I've shared with them, you're going to take your demons with you. And most, I'm going to tell you, 99% of the time, you know what they say to me? I know. I know. I know I'm going to take my demons with me. You know why? Because they're not willing to get set free. Then what happens? You don't see them in fellowship no more. You see them 2 years later. How are you doing? Well, man, I got a business and I'm making all kinds of money and you're demonized. Hello? So now their focus is on making money instead of God's presence. So their fulfillment, which is temporary, always leads them into destruction. Hello? This is what we're seeing through the world, aren't we? That's why there's the dismantlement. Right now, look at, there's a lot of prosperity going on, but there's a lot of destruction going on. Many people are losing their jobs, their homes. Many people are losing out of many things right now. But the body of Christ is excelling. The world is decreasing while the body of Christ is increasing. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. Amen. And we've heard this before many times. Some will depart from their connection with the Father. Some will depart with their connection with assembling. Some will depart from being steadfast and walking in the truth. Giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits. And what? Doctrines of what? Demons. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That's simple enough, I think. Hallelujah. Deceiving, seductive doctrines of demons. Lustful demons. Remember, a demon's weapon is deception and its power is fear. And its food is emotion. So he's looking for me and you to get fed off of all the time. So we know that this is important. It says, verse 2, speak in lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Wow. In other words, there's no more conviction. It's been seared. They can't receive conviction anymore. Man, when a person gets into that condition, it's bad. That's bad. That's very, very bad. Because the next thing is dismantlement. Then the next thing is destruction. And what happens is, remember, those demons are coming to take every part of possession of every part of that body. That's their job. That's what they want. In fact, we're going to see a lot of zombies here shortly. Those who've been, there's a chemical, a protein in that that's going to affect them once they change the frequencies. Many people are going to turn into zombies. Don't even know it. So if you've been, make sure you repent and break that curse off. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've been on YouTube or not and seen the zombies in a lot of these democratic-run states where they're bound because, why? Because of chemical warfare. They're calling it meth, but it's chemical warfare. They're calling it heroin. It's chemical warfare. They're calling them drugs. It's chemical warfare. Believe me, I was brought up in the drug world. I ain't never seen a drug affect a person like that. Never. And I've seen them being shipped in bales and all kinds of stuff, and they were stamped with satanic logos on them. But it's never affected people like that. These people are zombied because of the drugs, burning out their brains. This stuff is killing them, burning their flesh, or the stuff, they're eating their own flesh now. And they can't stop because it's so addictive. And those demons are taking possession of them. And they're feeding off of them until they die and then they go to another person. See, they don't care whether you live. As long as they get their full meal. Oh, hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. In other words, check the voices out. Who's telling you that? Whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, and he who knows God hears us. He who does not know God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And you know, we've got family and relatives that just can't receive what you're saying. They don't get it yet. Amen? Even believers have gone back into some of that state of being where they're not getting it anymore. Hallelujah. Test. We're to test the voice of impression and influence. Test, even you're to test visions that you get too, seeing if it's of God. Because many times a voice will lead to a vision. Speaking of UFOs and all of this other stuff. And I'm not saying that UFOs aren't real. Unidentified flying objects. Man, I see that happen every day. There's stuff flying through everywhere. I don't even know what that bird was. It's a UFO. It's a bird, but I don't know what kind. So it's a UFO. But so many things are being brought up now about what happened in Roswell and Area 51. But you got to remember something. These grays and these are demons or fallen angels, demons with bodies. That's why you've heard for years people being abducted. What are they taking? They're taking the seeds and the eggs and trying to produce their own offspring. Think about this. This is what was Satan's main plan from the beginning, right? That's why he impregnated Eve. He tried to have his own children. And they produced what? Giants. Nephilims. And then when God killed them, that's where the demons came from. Now they're disembodied spirits. So now they're trying to do it through genetic. And they have the technology to clone. So they're producing bodies and putting demons in them. And people don't get it. You might be, your boss might be a demon. You know, I think that's what Jesus already knew. He called them wolves in sheep's clothing. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, please. Examine what? Yourself, not your neighbor. Not anyone else. Examine yourselves as whether you are in the faith, whether you are connected, whether you're able to see and discern. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ is in you? Unless, indeed, you are what? Disqualified. But I trust that you know that we are not disqualified. Amen. We're to test the voices, impressions. We're to examine ourselves. If we're in, when he's saying here, in the faith is also, are you in the spirit? Test yourself. Find out if you're in the faith. If you're in the spirit, why? Because if you're in the faith, you overcome the world. Because what overcomes the world? Faith. And faith is your currency of heaven. You overcome temptations, the world's temptations, if you're in the faith, if you're in the spirit. James chapter 1 and verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Swift to hear, not listen. See, when you hear, there's a lot of people that listen, but they don't hear. Because when you hear, it's put into practice. If it's not put into practice, then you're just a yes person. Yeah, yeah, got it. And don't put it into practice. See, if you truly put something into practice, it becomes a part of you. You overcome. Amen? See, if you are a hearer, the Bible says be a hearer and a doer. Amen? But not just a doer or not just a hearer. So that means you must hear to do. Hallelujah. So you're to be swift to hear. Yes. Slow to what? speak and slow to act, react, or wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Be what? Doers of the word. Woo! And not what? Oh, hearers only. Deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of freedom and liberty and continues, say word, continues, in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Wow. If anyone among you thinks he's religious, well, we know religion's spirits suck. Amen. What do? They suck the life out of you. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. In other words, it doesn't have dominion. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their troubles and keep yourself unspotted from the world's temptations. Oh, yes. Romans 10, verse 16. But they not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Wow. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So again, it says hearing, not listening. So when you're hearing the word of God, you're to put a part, it's supposed to be in you to put practice to it. See, because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, doesn't he? He comes to steal that word. He comes to compromise it. Ah, that's okay. Whoa. That's all right. No. See, if he knows you can compromise in one thing, he knows you can compromise in another. And the first compromise is not the excess. It's usually the second, third, or fourth compromise. That's what he's waiting for. He builds up the compromise till it comes to doubt, rebellion, and unbelief. Now, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, haven't we? But we're to learn by our mistakes, not repeat them. Amen? Psalm 38, verse 9. Lord, all my desire is before you. Wow. Now, do you let all your desires go before God? Do you know that he knows them all? And where are these desires? In your heart, because your heart is the core of all desires. Doesn't he also say that your heart can be corrupt, contaminated? Amen. See, you'll know them by your desires. You'll know the fruits are desires. You'll know people by their desires. What's their desire? Is it lawful? Is it righteous? Is it divine order? What is it? Lord, all my desires are before you. Even my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants. My strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction. And they what? Plan deception all day long. All day long. They're waiting. They're trying to get to you. I remember this gentleman one time, I was invited to speak somewhere. And he said to me, he said, you believe demons are around every corner. In an insulting way. I was gentle, even though I said to myself, I'm speaking to one right now. I didn't let him know right now, right then. And I said, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but powers of darkness. That means demons. And he was running a program. And his house manager, I said, man, your house manager's playing secular music and your assistant head of this ministry is not right and this, that, whatever. Let me tell you, within 2 weeks later, the house manager fell and the head, the second person in charge, went back to prison or something to that degree. Because God gave him a warning. God showed them, but they didn't want to accept it. You know why? Because they were carnal Christians. They might have followed once, but they turned into carnal. They came more self-fulfilling instead of God-fulfilling. The enemy got their eyes off of everything but them. Everything was turned to them. Me, 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 me. What about me? And then the compromise. And then the return of the demon. Oh, I can just do this once in a while. Oh, no, you can't. How many times have you heard someone say, man, I'm just going to go have one drink? You. Just one. Yes. One more. 15 drinks later, just one more. And they're back right where they started from. Just takes one. Amen. They plan deception all day long. What you've overcome to one area, they will try to wait for another area. It's not over. Just because you overcame today doesn't mean you will tomorrow. You must understand this as a warrior. This is not about a soulish thing. This is about a reality. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, please. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the what? Same mind, or the mind of Christ. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh or in the carnal, for the lust of what? Men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past time in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it's strange that you don't do the same things and run with them anymore. In the same food and dispensation and speaking evil of you. You know, you'll be challenged by the enemy just like Jesus was. Remember when people used to call you chicken or whatever? He said, oh man, I dare you. The devil will dare you. They will give an account to him who is already to what? Judge the what? Living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Hallelujah. Arm yourselves with the mind of what? Christ. Get your eyes off of yourself. Get your eyes off of yourself. This is where the enemy wants to bring you. You know, one of the things, look at... We all have aches and pains. Amen. We all have injuries. We all have all kinds of something's going on with us, man. Welcome to the earth. Amen. But we can't allow that to interfere. We can't keep focusing on those things. We're to be good stewards of the things of God and good stewards to this body. So make sure you're not bringing things in that are causing more of the problem. Amen. If you've got diabetes, don't Twinkie out. Because you'll pass out. If you've got a heart disease, don't be eating stuff that's going to cause hardening of the arteries. Amen. Learn what you need to partake to bring healing to the body. Amen. There are certain things that bring blindness. There are certain things, whatever. There are chemicals that will kill you. Besides the atmosphere. And we got enough stuff going on everywhere else. Hallelujah. And the media, praise God. Arm yourself with the mind of Christ. Psalm 64, please. Psalm 64, verse 1. Hear my voice, O God, and my meditation. Preserve my life from what? Fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows bitter words, that they may shoot in the secret at the blameless. And suddenly they shoot at him and do not what? Fear. So they're shooting at me and you secretly. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They talk of lying snares secretly. They say, who will see them? They devise iniquities. We have perfected a shrewd scheme. Both the inward thought and the heart of man are deep, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. So we know that they shoot secretly at us in the heart. Amen. But what protects you is the shield of faith. So if you're truly walking in faith, because, you know, again, faith comes by what? Hearing. Also, faith comes by praying in tongues. If you're an individual that's using the gift of tongues and you're praying more in tongues, you'll have faith to overcome. In fact, that temptation won't touch you. You'll overcome it. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, not if, when, or how, but you will. Because you'll be challenged. Not only God will challenge you to promote you, and the demons will challenge you to demote you. Amen? I'm going to say it again. God will challenge you to promote you. Demons will challenge you to demote you. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. What's patience? Endurance. If you're truly walking in faith, you're going to overcome. Why? Because faith is a shield that overcomes. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all freely and without reproach, and it will be given to you. But let him ask in what? Faith. Faith. In other words, it's because you're not listening, it's because you're hearing. See, a person that listens doesn't have that faith to overcome. Only a person that hears has that faith to overcome. So if you've ever been received counsel, correction, and direction from the Spirit, if you're listening, you won't overcome. But if you're hearing, you put it to practice and you overcome. Yeah. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because he knows if God gives it to him, God says, if I give it to him, it's going to be stolen anyways. Because he's got no faith. He is double-minded. He's a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Unstable in his ways. So God cannot release it. Amen? Doubt, double-minded, and unstable. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, that means that person heard, didn't listen. So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of the just. He preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good thing. When what? When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Discretion or discernment will preserve you, and understanding will what? Keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil and from men and women who speak evil and perverse things. Wisdom, understanding, discernment. So we're going to have discernment, but you've got to be filled with the Spirit of God and have faith. Amen. I'm going to close at Romans 14, verse 16. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. I'm going to say that again. Don't let your good be spoken of as evil. In other words, don't portray something to be good when you're actually practicing evil, because everybody knows it. Maybe you don't, but everybody else does. Therefore, don't let your good be spoken as of evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. And do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food or self or pride. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for a man who eats with offense. Wow. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he proves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not of faith is what? Sin. Wow. Remember, your faith is forever attached in the heavenlies. You are living from the future, not from the past any longer. The return of demons. Oh, they're after you. They're after all of us. Amen? But thank God, who is in us is greater than he is in the world. Don't turn into a zombie. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we thank you for awakening and preparing as we watch the world turn into zombies. We thank you for faith that overcomes. We thank you for the blood, your word, and your spirit. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound and keep us hidden in the secret place. And we lift up the shield of faith so we can quench every dart. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.